I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Oh, no, we're not. We're two-thirds of the way done. It just hit me. We only have an hour left. This is what every other sports radio host in town feels like. Just an hour left. Feels great, right? Almost
done. Not mad at it.
I'm not mad at it either.
Not mad at it.
Good to be here with you guys. Three-game winning streak. On the line for our San Diego Padres today, taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. Still no starting pitcher. We've been digging for it. I can't find it. If anybody has it, please put it in the chat or tweet us. I haven't seen it yet. I was thinking about texting the skipper, Mike Shelton. I said, I don't want to bother the guy. The guy's having his eggs and whatever and reading his Cardinals manual and figuring out how to win fourth game in a row. You know, I don't bug the guy. The guy's got work to do. I don't like to be bothered pre-show.
What's up, my dudes? How you doing?
Hey, we're good.
We'll tease it for the EcoWater SoCal pregame show.
Sammy, he'll
have news and info for you when he comes on the air in just over an hour.
Yeah, 100%. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And the ideas were flowing yesterday in the Ben and Woods group text. Me, Ben, and Paul. We have that one. We have one, me, Ben, Paul, and Adam. Adam's not privy to our brainstorming ideas, mostly because he would probably have run with one that our beloved Ben suggested. Oh, but Ben wanted to text us yesterday because you got a kick out of something.
So I wondered, so I was driving to work yesterday. And first of all, let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever bought a license plate holder? Like one of the novelty license plate holders for your cars.
Never.
Or do you just go with whatever, like, where you bought it? The car lot, the dealership, wherever. Just put on whatever your car is.
Always.
Your license plate. The standard one in the back. But you
Megan's
know.
Megan's car has a Padres one, but it was given to us. I didn't go out and buy it.
Right. Did you have to install it?
Yeah, I mean, screwdriver, yeah.
I know some places.
Well, not convenient, probably.
Like if you donate to your school, sometimes they send you a. Like a personalized license plate.
Never put one on.
Holder.
Never been a big
sometimes
sticker
like
or
holder grandkids
guy.
Get like world's best grandma.
Yeah.
You get some of those. You get like his gifts from family members.
Yeah,
and
you're forced to put those
obligated
on.
Obligated to put them onto your car. But they're kind of a statement. Like you're putting that, you're making that decision. That's what you're showing to the world. whoever's behind you in traffic on the freeway. And I was in a little traffic going through the downtown S-curve. You know, the S-curve downtown?
The S-curve downtown.
You know what an S-curve is?
Yeah, it's kind of where you get off at 10th Petco Park.
Yeah.
You're going down.
Yeah, I know the S-curve.
It turns the other way. It's the S-curve. And the car in front of me had a personalized license plate holder. And I noticed first the top was just four letters. And that's the first thing I noticed. And it was a little shocking. The letters were M-I-L-F. Were the four letters.
No.
Even I know what that stands for. But then the bottom.
I don't. Could you fill us in?
Well, according to this guy, it says, man, I love fishing.
We got such a kick out of this, you guys. Like Bo. You know who else would get a kick out of that once he learns what MILF is? Bo.
Oh.
He got so excited. He texted us.
Man, I love fishing.
Right.
You've never had a license plate. Frame.
The other idea that Ben had. And I'm going to ask you this right now. Were you serious?
Yeah.
That makes it worse.
I thought you were joking, and this makes it absolutely worse. So he texted the group thread yesterday, my beloved, Ben Higgins, and said, video idea. And I said, okay, what do you got? We all do the Jackson Merrill victory dance. And I wrote back, Ben, Paulie said, blink twice if Adam is with you with a gun. And I said, sniff if McGuire is in the room. And Ben wrote back, ha ha. Now,
it makes me happy. It always comes at a moment where you're in a good mood. And then he starts doing his dancing out in the.
Oh, he's doing it. You look like the Silence of the Lambs guy is what you look like right now. Just tuck it back. That's what you look like. Oh, wait. Is he a great big fat person? Not anymore, thanks to SD Fat Loss. Look at him.
No one's really done anything with it yet. It's a signature move.
For good reason.
He already has a signature move.
But
20 games into his career.
It's a dance.
It's the gritty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
Oh.
I can't do the grit. Oh, there he is. Live in person, my friend Ben Higgins. Oh, wait. Put the lotion in the basket. Precious. And I said, we're not doing that. Because remember, first of all, Adam, that's an Adam idea. Remember when Dak Prescott did that warm up and he said, hey, will you guys do it? And we said, mm-mm. We'd been here for like 3 weeks. And he goes, Dak Prescott did that. He goes, we'll do video content from it. I said, I don't want to do that. I don't like video stuff, you just got to come natural.
I will admit, I thought that maybe it was an original dance. I didn't know that was already the gritty. Like, it's not. He didn't invent his new. I thought he invented a new victory dance.
That makes more sense then.
I thought he invented something.
I do
new.
When they come together at the end, they put their hands up and they put them down. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jackson Merrill. Oh, wait. Mm. Oh, Frederica Vimmel? I think I have her card in here somewhere. I always feel bad crapping on his ideas, but I really don't feel that bad. But I feel like you need a filter.
Well, it makes me happy whenever I see Jackson Merrill doing
me
that
too.
Dance.
Well, if he hits,
the Padres just won a game.
They just won a game. Well, but when they come together at the end, they put their hands up and then they put them down real quick. It makes me really happy.
There you go.
Too. Maybe we can do that.
Well, okay.
You want to do something? We'll do the thing.
That one's cool.
Okay. That one's cool.
Can we even coordinate that?
No,
I don't know.
There's
probably
no doubt.
Not.
There's no doubt.
Probably
man.
Not.
No doubt. Well, the other thing we need to stop doing too is we got to stop talking about stuff on the air, which is part of our job. But
stop talking about everything entirely.
Right, yeah, just
that 4-hour show that became a 3-hour show is quickly going to become a 0-hour show if we stop talking about everything.
We're messing around yesterday at the end of the show and we're talking about paintball because Benny has never been paintballing before and he's never been shot with a paintball. You never shot a paintball gun. And I said, well, that'd be fun to watch you, get lubed up and get your thing and get out there and, you know, start shooting people and getting shot. And it hurts. You know, it's funny. But I've always said with Ben,
I don't put those two sentences together. It hurts. It's funny. Fun. It's That's funny. Not, I don't ever put those sentences together.
But with you, there's so much you haven't done. So it's like I have a son, another son that I get to experience things with, right? And that makes me happy. I like teaching. I like teaching. And I are showing, you know, introducing. It would be fun to get out on the paintball course. And then people said, oh, yeah, we'll do like tier ones. I said, hey, I'll do a tier one day, whatever. Well, I got the phone call at noon from Adam. He's like, hey. First of all, he started the conversation off with this. I answer, I go, hello? He goes, what's the matter with you? I go, what? What are you talking? You're calling me at noon. I don't want to tell you guys what I was actually doing, but you can make your inferences, okay? He called me right.
So you did potentially answer the phone in an annoyed voice.
Yeah, I have a limited time to myself in the afternoon. Right. Okay?
So you were annoyed when you answered the phone. Yeah, and he asked, what's wrong? Why? What's the matter? What's the matter?
Nothing. What's going on?
No.
He then,
you were mad that he was calling you.
He wants to do. He's like, do you really want to do this? I'm like, yeah, I do. But it was just something we were talking about. Yes, we can do it. Let's keep our eye on the prize, the baseball season, and we'll crush it. And then maybe after we'll do like a team building. And then it started to spiral. He wants to do like something bigger, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Boy. And I just said, yeah, let's hit it. After we win the World Series, we'll go and we'll do a team building event and we'll shoot.
It doesn't have to happen tomorrow.
No. And the funny thing was, is like, I really, at the end of the day, I just wanted to shoot Ben with paintballs and let him shoot me and watch you in all the gear. That's what brings me. I want
you. Already put me in lacrosse goalie gear.
Taking you to strip club.
Yeah.
I want you surfing. I want you parasailing. I want you base jumping. I want to see you do all of this fun stuff. Because I feel like you got shortchanged a lot.
I'm saying no to base and bungee jumping right now. That's not ever happening.
Please bungee jump.
Not I'm ever
begging
happening.
You. I'm begging you.
Paintball might happen.
Paintball
I mean,
happen.
I could definitely see that happening at
so
some point.
Good. So, so good. But I love you, Adam. I love you, Ben. Keep those ideas flowing. One of them will hit at some point. We will get it, and it will be magnificent. What's the matter with you? What? You don't want to know what I'm doing. Stop. If you call me about noon, don't.
What about 1 o'clock?
If you call me, don't.
3 o'clock.
3's fine. What's your schedule? 3? After 3? Before?
Don't call me
11 or after 3?
No. Perfect time to call me is 1:50. That's when I leave to go get in line for school. And I sit and rot for an hour in the school line to pick up my son. That's my free time. So I always call Pauly, sitting in the thing, always. Like, Paulie can expect between at 2 o'clock he's getting a call from me as I'm waiting for Bo to get out of school every single day. That's when we do our catch-up and what do we got tomorrow and all that. But at any time before that, leave me be. I'm busy.
Michael in the chat wants to know, did we ever hear more about the Ben and Woods Open? We have not made any announcements yet. You have not missed anything. However,
anything.
We are working on it behind the scenes and hoping in the next couple of weeks we'll have the wherewithal to make some sort of official announcement on like a date that we can officially announce for the tournament and for signups to go into effect. But until all of our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted, you'll just have to wait.
Yeah, for sure.
But as we said before, we're looking for early summer, June, kind of in that range.
Bryce Wilson is your starter.
Bryce Wilson,
for the Milwaukee
I knew it.
Brewers, as I
knew
speculated.
It. Bryce, tell Wilson. Us about Bryce Wilson.
I would be happy to do that. And I, as soon as I look him up, is the
like
first
what side of the rubber does
right,
he throw?
He's a right
hander.
Yep, he is a righty.
Who spells Bryce with an S? Bryce.
Bryce Wilson.
There's something didn't know about him.
He's 1-0 with a 5.19 ERA. He's pitched in 5 games. Has not started a game yet. He's thrown 8 2/3 innings this year. He struck out 10. His whip is 1.038. Ben, he's 0.0 WAR. And I don't know. I don't know what his arsenal features. Let me look. I could probably find that information for you. But doesn't look to be, you know, it's not Freddy Peralta at the end of the day. It's a guy you want to go out and beat.
He went 3 innings out of the pen in his last appearance, which was a week ago. So he can obviously be stretched out a little bit. Presumably, if they needed him to throw 3, possibly 4, you could get there. Wouldn't expect him to go like 6 or 7, though, in this game for the Milwaukee Brewers.
No, do you like, and have you liked the offensive approach that the San Diego Padres have been employing of swing early, swing often? Because yesterday was a perfect example of when it works. boy, do you look like a genius. Getting up there and hacking, and next thing you know, you're up 4-0.
Is that officially the approach?
I know
Mike Schilt has talked about, hey, if you get your pitch, don't be afraid to swing at the first pitch. They also walked 14 times just 2 days ago. So they're also not just wildly swinging at everything. Right. That's always the best approach. Swing at the good pitches you can hit and let everything else go until there's two strikes, and then you got to protect the plate a little bit. That's not some sabermetric, modern baseball wisdom that was gleaned through all the stats. That's how baseball's always been. You always are supposed to swing at the pitches that you can do damage on and then take the other ones until you absolutely have to, put something in play so you don't strike out and you don't risk it.
But see a stat,
no one ever wants to swing at a pitch that's a little off the plate when they're, up in the count 1-0 or 0-0.
I did see a stat, and I think it was last week, our buddy Tommy, who's so good with this stuff, he tweeted something about, I had to look up if the Padres are swinging earlier, and they are. They are more 0-0 count swings this year than in years past. And I think it's paying off for them. Now, you go up there and you miss and you roll it over. Cool. One pitch, one out. You go over and you miss. You roll it over. Cool. Two pitches to that. It kills you. But like last night, Xander, boom, 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 4-0.
9 pitches into the game, they were up 4-0.
That's incredible. And when it works, boy, do you look like a genius. When it does, you look like a moron. And you'll be patient. Get up there and wait for your pitch. They can never win.
You've been critical, a bad at bat. 100%. Looks like bad at bats. Well, they look like bad at bats when you swing at that pitch, and it's probably a good pitch to swing at, but you happen to hit a three hopper to the shortstop.
That's not a bad at bat. A bad at bat for me is 2-0, and you do a swing and an ass out slider. That's a bad at bat. That's
fair. That's
but,
fair.
But you're also in 2-0. What are you doing? You're hunting a heater to just murder into the gap. And if he throws you a slider, you tip your cap. So I think the one for me, there's one that sticks out in my mind. It was Xander, poor guy, just getting work today. But it was 2-0, and it was just a real kind of feeble on a pitch away and just kind of rolled it over the second baseman. It's like, that's not the swing you want, 2-0. 2-0, you got to be hacking. 1-0, you got to be hacking. And I feel like they're hacking a lot more early in counts right now, and they are doing their damage with it every time. So it's been great. It's been great to see. I kind of enjoy it.
All right. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. If you missed the Incorporator, we'll have Jesse's payoff of yesterday's word, Arenaceous, for you. And then Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast, always one of our favorite guests. He is back.
Let's ask him about at-bats. 100%.
Hitting approaches. Yeah, I always got the sense that Brett was a fairly aggressive hitter at the plate. Yeah. But we'll see what he thinks. And the modern game, if he's changed his tune at all on that. That'll come up after a check of traffic. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Josh wants to know, Ben, if we wear matching glasses on purpose.
I don't think they are matching glasses. Mine have a different shape than yours entirely.
Yeah, yours are thicker along the side than mine. No, we don't do it on purpose. Somebody texted me the other day and said the three of you should wear matching horn-rimmed glasses and you could call yourself the Tri-Lambs. That's very mean. I can't see anymore, so I have to use these to read. But they bother me, so I take them on an awful lot.
I've only worn glasses for the last, what,
year and a half or so?
And they don't bother me.
They bother me, the bridge of my nose.
Occasionally, I'll adjust them a little bit still, getting used to them. It's like my wedding ring for like 3 years, I would just play with it constantly, and then it just kind of disappeared.
Save him saying I would just play with it constantly.
Constantly.
Do you still have your glasses that turn dark when you walk outside?
I wear those for golf.
For golf.
Yeah, those are my golf glasses. They have a clip, so they don't shake around at all when you're playing. You want to make sure they're, because you have your head down, and you don't
right.
want glasses just falling off when you're playing golf, so
yeah.
Those work well. Plus, you're outside and, you know, it gets sunny, so you can, it's not a really dark tint, it's just kind of a slight tint.
I told you guys, these are the worst shows ever, with their 3 hours, the worst. No one's worse than us.
Well, I mean, we could go to a Rindle report, except Paulie didn't do one.
He didn't do one.
9 o'clock hour.
Right.
I will say, this probably would have made the Rindle report. Congratulations to Paul's former classmate, who will be competing for a gold medal at the Olympics this year. Kawhi Leonard named to Team USA.
Pretty stacked lineup.
It is a pretty good lineup.
It is.
Yeah. Let's see. LeBron.
Maybe the most dominant.
KD. I mean, it's not the dream team quite, but it's the best of the best that we've got going to Paris.
I mean, I don't know enough about like football, soccer, but like can another country
match
in another sport be as dominant with the roster?
I don't think so. Europe,
the nation could put together, but for individual countries, no, probably.
Like the Olympics. I mean,
no, there's too many great players
There's a lot of good countries that you could put for baseball teams.
Yeah.
Now, unlike
see that in the World
Baseball
Classic.
When the Dream Team dominated, other countries have really good teams now as well, because
it's an international
superstar
game.
Players around the world, but there's no roster that's going to match up with LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, and Kawhi Leonard. That is a really good basketball team that they're sending.
Are you guaranteeing gold?
No, I can't guarantee gold.
Okay.
I can't. The other teams are now good enough that they will have to also play well to win the gold medal. They're the favorites, no doubt. And we will wish them luck as Coach Steve Kerr takes the team to Paris this summer. They're exactly 100 days out from the Paris Olympics today.
Well, he's got plenty of time to plan because the Warriors knocked out last night.
The playoffs for Steve Curry.
Maybe we can get him on. It's been many years since we've talked to Steve. He doesn't return texts anymore.
I think he changed his number.
You think so?
I think I could email him maybe, though.
Okay.
Give him an email.
Yeah.
Hey!
Saw you got eliminated from the play-in tournament.
Yeah, we could talk about that down the road.
I thought for a second you were going to congratulate me on what I found yesterday while I was cleaning.
A little treasure digging.
This was unbelievable. So I was trying to find something. It was actually Ben's Christmas gift to me.
Yeah.
And I lost it, and I couldn't find it. And
glad you appreciated it so much.
So much.
Just tossed it somewhere you couldn't remember.
Well, for what it's worth, I spent days looking for it. Like, I really did want it. It was a $200 gift card to Lose Records. And so at one point, I had them with me in the car because we were going to go and spend the money. Lose doesn't open until noon, which is a little bit tough. And so when I realized that, I'm not going to happen. So I thought maybe I left them in the car. I could not find them. They've been gone for a couple of weeks now, missing. A
couple of weeks?
Yeah. Couldn't find them.
I thought they'd been gone since Christmas.
No, I've had them. I was like, they got moved. I hope they didn't get thrown away. What are we going to do? So I'm looking through Megan's car yesterday, because that was the car we were going to take when we were originally planning on buying these records. I'm looking through the glove compartment. I'm looking under the seats. I can't find them. And when I go through the glove compartment, my wife's Prius that she's had for 8 years, I'm going through the very bottom of the glove compartment, under the user manuals, the old registration cards.
The dregs.
And I see something and I go, that looks like the back of a baseball card. What on earth could this be? And I pull out a 1988 framed or display case, whatever.
In the hard case.
A autographed 1988 Tony Gwynn baseball card.
Incredible.
And I go, what the hell was this doing in the car? How long has it been there? I wait for her to get home from work yesterday. I go, what's this? Can you tell me why I found this in your glove compartment?
She goes, so
oh my God. Doesn't remember how it got there.
Pinstriped brown and orange days.
Yeah. Sweet, dude.
She believes it was her father's, her late father's card. And she thinks after he passed, he had some really good friends in their neighborhood and he left some boxes of stuff to his friends. She's like, I'm pretty sure that card might have been in one of those boxes and I got it back and apparently I put it in my glove compartment.
So cool.
God knows how long ago.
What a find.
But yeah, I was like, this is awesome.
I'm not a memorabilia guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what like Tony Gwynn memorabilia is worth. That looks like it's in good condition. It's in its case.
Yeah.
It's signed. I know Tony was very generous with autographs, though, and that generally drives the price down on some of those.
Yeah, but it's just sentimental.
Somebody DM'd me. I posted it on my Instagram story, and somebody was like, oh my God, it's insane. Like, do you know how much it's worth? I'm like, I don't know. This new wave of baseball card collecting
over the last 10 years,
I'd say.
I'm trying to understand it, and I can't.
I don't have any minted cards, or I don't know what the grade is or anything like that. I'm not sure it's in great condition. It looks fine for me, though. It's going to just sit on the mantle, and it looks great. But then somebody sent me a comparable one on eBay. It was like $200.
Nice.
So
nice.
That's a true find.
If you get a pinch, Paulie. If you get a pinch, I'll give you $200. Right. Keep your card.
Woods might find chewing gum or something if he dug
old
into his
cinnamon rolls wrappers in there.
Not good.
Four packs of Reese's peanut butter cup wrappers,
papers, jammed paper.
Yeah.
Let's quickly do the incorporator just because I promised it. We got Brett Boone coming up. This was the seventh inning last night. The word that Jesse was given was arenaceous, which means looking or appearing like a hedgehog, I believe. A very weird word submitted on our YouTube stream. And he nailed it with mud on Padres.tv in the seventh inning last night.
Michigan guy.
Michigander.
There you go. Played his college ball at the University of Cincinnati.
Bearcats.
A lot of arenaceous animals up in this park.
Got
your Bearcats, your hedgehogs,
Wolverines.
Your groundhogs, Wolverines, Badgers.
I was going to say,
can't forget the Badgers.
Fantastic.
Got the hedgehog in there, got arenaceous into the broadcast. And he got Mud playing the game that he plays with Tony on the broadcast as well, where Tony, you know, he quizzes Tony on college nicknames and mascots all the time. And Mud was right there with the Bearcats. Very nicely done.
Mud doesn't miss a lot of those.
Brett Boone is going to join us next. Host of the Brett Boone Podcast. Talk some baseball with our good friend coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. A reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt. Coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan, but that's next is doing a lot of work because we still have Brett Boone coming up. Sammy just popped his head in and said, we nearly had an incident. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes. When Nick, the board op for his Padres pregame show, walked in, saw our Bean Boozled jerk.
Yep.
And didn't realize what it was going for it. Was going for a handful. Ooh, jelly beans. Free jelly beans.
Got a handful.
Yeah, was ready to go.
And Sammy stopped him
at the last second.
Sammy's a nice guy.
Because you would not have stopped anyone. You would have wanted to see what would happen.
I lived it Monday, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. My worst enemy, I wouldn't want them to eat a handful of those. I feel like I still taste bandage in my mouth. So,
you would have stopped him.
I think I would have stopped
Sammy
him. I would have been like, bro, no.
Don't do it. This is going to be the mistake of a lifetime.
It's so bad.
All right, Padres are expecting large crowds this weekend when they welcome the Blue Jays to town, but very limited tickets remain for all three games. You can visit Padres.com/tickets today. Got Brett Boone on the line. He will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Does that mean he'll be at the all-staff meeting in that we just found out about June?
You better be there.
And we got a big Odyssey meeting. We will see you there. Insider calls are presented by Grainger.
Yeah, that's good.
Supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports each week. Jim Bowden, the former GM on The Athletic, one of his latest guests on the Brett Boone podcast. Good morning, colleague, co-worker Brett Boone.
Yes, I will be looking forward to the staff meeting. I will have a lot to bring to the table.
Yeah.
A lot of input, a lot of knowledge I've been holding back for a long time, so looking forward to that. Morning, boys.
Morning. I know they have, like, hitters meetings and, you know, like, before the series meetings. Did you ever have to do, like, workplace meetings as a baseball player?
Oh, yeah, right?
Like, the normal stuff that we all have to, like, going through, like, the benefits programs
training
and things
modules.
You have to sign. Yeah, did they have that for baseball players back in the day?
No.
That's the thing. Once you become a big league ball player, the rules do not apply to you any longer.
Almost anywhere.
And I'll tell you what, the day you either retire or you get fired from big league baseball, all the rules apply to you. So it's quite the shock when you're
rude awakening.
But no. Yes, as a big leaguer, believe me, nothing.
It's incredible. There's a story that came out recently about Juan Soto, and I defended Juan a little bit because Juan Soto's a good hitter and knows kind of what he wants to do when he goes up to the plate. And, you know, but apparently he wasn't really engaged in some of these hitters meetings. They were telling some of the Padres hitters about tells, right? So if he does this, he may throw the slider here 80% of the time.
Right.
Soto was more kind of like, I've got my own plan and it's obviously working for me. I don't need this information per se. Maybe he didn't go about it the right way, Brett, but I wanted to ask you the info that they gave you. How were hitters meetings like for you? Were you into them? Were you not into them? Did you just want to go out, see ball, hit ball?
Well, it varied throughout my career. When I was a young player, I'd go in there and I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to hear from the guys that have been around the league for years and years and have a lot more. When you first get to the big leagues, you don't have a portfolio built up of time against these guys. By the time I'm, you know, late in my career and Roger Clemens is pitching tonight, you know, I might have some input in the hitters meeting because I faced him 30 times. You know, as a young player, I want to sponge off those older guys. Like, hey, what's he done to you in the past? Is he doing anything different? So I was there just to kind of be quiet and listen. And yeah, it's like anything. As you get more experience and you have something to add to the conversation, maybe you can help a young guy. When it comes to Juan Soto, when it comes to big league treatment in general, especially a Juan Soto, an established, one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
As a teammate, you do whatever the hell you want to do. I could care less just when the bell rings, as long as you show up, do whatever you want. Don't go to the meeting. I don't care. And there's none of that, oh, everybody's got to be treated the same. Not in the big leagues. It's all about winning games. Pick your friends later. You got to battle with 26 guys or 25, 3 hours a night. And I remember what sticks out to me is I went to the middle of my career, I went to the Atlanta Braves. And it was obviously an organization at the time. Everybody knows the 90s Braves. It was you win every single year. And I went into that and – Chipper Jones that year, who ended up winning the MVP, he didn't come out. He didn't stretch with us. He didn't come onto the field. He didn't take ground balls. He had his program where when I got to the park every day, he was already there. So Chipper's there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon playing cards. He had a routine that he went through. He'd shower. He'd get into the cage about 45 minutes before the game. Him and Don Baylor at the time was the hitting coach. They go through all this program they had. He'd get loose. He'd stretch. He'd run his sprints under the tunnel. He'd warm up by throwing balls into the cage. He'd step on the top step some days at 7 o'clock for a 7:05 game. And I had no problem with it because Chipper was carrying the mail, and he put us on his back that year.
That's so badass.
And for any of my teammates that had a problem with it, like, oh, Chipper has to be out there and stretch. I said, why does he have to be out there and stretch? What do we care? He shows up and hits a 3-run homer. That's all I care about. Now, there's a catch 22 to that. If you're hitting 210. And you're on pace to hit 6 homers for the year. Well, guess what you better do? You better get your butt out there and stretch with everybody else. But as long as you're doing your job, this is the big league. It's not about this and about that. It's about bottom line. It's about results. If Juan Soto doesn't want to take certain things from a meeting and he's out on the field producing, more from my perspective as a teammate in that locker room, as long as he's not completely disrupting the entire program, which I'm hearing none of that. I've got no problem with it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Click callgrainger.com or just stop by. I want to ask you about hitting coaches. Padres' new hitting coach, Victor Rodriguez, has received high marks so far because, well, the Padres are hitting well and scoring a lot of runs. But I kind of refuse to believe that the last, 11 hitting coaches were all idiots who didn't know what they were talking about. And you see, like, professional golfers, they'll go through coaches maybe 4 or 5 in their careers and change all the time, a different coach for a different swing. And I've got to imagine baseball is kind of similar. Like, one coach doesn't fit all swing types on the major league level for a hitting coach. What was your experience with hitting coaches? How useful were they? How much of an impact can they really have on a team?
I had 20 hitting coaches. I can count on 3 fingers. That would be 3. Somebody that could actually help me. Hitting coach is, I think, the toughest job in all sports. Because, as you mentioned, Ben, when you're hitting well, man, you're getting high praises. Everybody loves you. And when the hitters aren't hitting, you stink and you should be banished from the earth. That's the way they're treated. And it's a tough job because for particular roster, you've got 12 guys that you got to work with. You're not going to see eye to eye with all 12 guys. The best hitting coaches I've had were not the guys that taught the physical. You know, we all have different approaches. To be successful, we all have to be in the same position when that ball's in the hitting zone. We all get there a different way. But the best hitting coaches I've had were the guys that could say something to me that would rattle something loose in my head. And he could go to another hitter and say something completely different and get a real positive result out of that. A guy for me that was great, his name was Lee Elia. And he was Lou Piniella, one of Lou Piniella's guys. I knew Lee since I was a kid. He was a coach on those 70s Phillies teams that my dad played on. So I knew him as a little kid. He came to Seattle. And he would walk by me some days, and we had a really good rapport. And he'd look at me, and he knew I was in a funky place from a hitting perspective. He'd say, "Booney, how you doing?" And I'd look at him. I'd say, "Lee, how the hell you think I'm doing? You've been watching my at-bats the last 3 days." And he'd say something, this is what sticks out to me. He'd say, "Remember when we were in Texas a week ago and you did that thing with your top hand and you said that helped you?" And I'd look at him like, "Yeah, I remember that conversation." He goes, "Why don't you just try that?" And he would walk to the end of the dugout. All of a sudden, I went from, sitting there moping on the bench with no chance in my next at bat to, "I've got a chance." Yeah, that's right. That top hand that we were talking about. So that's just an example of what hitting coaches there. They're more mental coaches. They're more psychologists than they are the physical hit. Now, yeah, you need a guy that gets there. He's there. He's ready to work. That's all I can ask from a hitting coach. I'll give you a quick another story. I'll try to make it really quick. Paul Molitor, one of the greatest hitters in the game. Love him. Hall of Famer. Love him as a man. He was our hitting coach in 2004 in Seattle. He came in. Man, did he work hard. He was there when you needed him to be there. Did everything he could. And at the end of the year, I had an okay year. And the last week, we're doing our flips under the tunnel. And Paulie looks at me and goes, "Booney, I knew how to get a hit." I said, "I know, Paulie. I watched you for a lot of years." He goes, "Problem is, I can't help you get a hit." And we both started laughing. It is really hard. You have to have that one-on-one. you resonate with some guys and you don't resonate with others. But the bottom line is, once you get to the big leagues, you're a big leaguer. All your growing and teaching and learning should be done by the big league level. You should be a finished product. And at the end of the day, once you step in the box, it's all on you. So hitting coaches come and go, but the best ones are the ones that can somehow psychologically get in that mind and just put you into a good, positive frame of mind when you're about to get into that box.
That's good advice for coaches at any level. Boone, talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I wanted to ask you. I think the Padres, if you've watched the 20 games, they're coming out, they're swinging early in counts, they're getting balls to hit. Sometimes they're not damaging those balls. They're just finding some green right now, and that's as important sometimes as hitting lasers. And they're living right now, but it does seem to be a little bit of a change in philosophy of going up attacking early in counts. When last year, man, they would get themselves in some bad hitters counts and bad things happen. Did they drill that into you in your career, or what was your mentality? Like, I'm going up, I'm hunting first pitch fastball, and if I see one, I'm going to ambush it.
Woodsy, that's all an individual thing too.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a guy like a Juan Soto who's going to see the most pitches of anyone in baseball.
Yep.
That's Juan Soto. And then on the other side of the ledger, a guy that I played against and we watched for years, Hall of Famer, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. He maybe walked 20 times a year. Pretty good results, though, from an offensive player.
No doubt.
And I remember when I worked with the Oakland A's in the minor leagues, and they were preaching, hey, you need to walk more. You need to get your walk totals. Well, that doesn't work. You're either a walker or you're not a walker. If you're a 40-walk guy a year, yeah, maybe you can improve on that with your plate discipline, control the strike zone a little bit better, and become a 60-walk guy. But you don't go from a 40 to 100. I never met a good hitter that went up there looking to walk. You look to hit, and as you get more experience and a little more mature in the game, you learn to maybe shrink that strike zone a little bit and stay within the zone a little bit more. But I've never seen a great hitter that changed what he was. If you're an 80-walk guy, yeah, you can improve on that and maybe one day be 100. But you're not going to turn Vladimir Guerrero into a 100-walk guy, and you're not going to turn Juan Soto into a 40-walk guy. Both the results from both of their approaches works pretty good, and that's all I've ever seen. That's my belief. You can't change a guy. And sometimes if you're a low-walk guy and you really pound on him, you got to walk more, that takes away their aggressiveness. And they become a shell of themselves. So I don't try to change anybody. Just get the most out of the individual, because it's so individualized.
Last thing for me, Brett. There's some teams off to some really slow starts that you don't really expect are going to get much better. The Rockies 4-14, the Marlins 4-14, not looking good. The White Sox just look abysmal. 2-14, they've been outscored by 53 runs. I know it's early, but what was the worst team you were ever on? And when did you realize, like, this is not...
This is who we are.
This is not going to turn around, is it? The 2000
well,
Padres weren't great. I remember that, but I hope that wasn't
Padres
the worst one.
Weren't great. My 2005 Mariners weren't very good. 97 Cincinnati Reds. As a player, we're eternal optimists. And the obvious could be staring us in the face, where if we were anywhere other than in that uniform, on that field, representing that organization, reasonable minds would prevail and say, we stink. But as players, believe me, that's all we got to live for. We get to the ballpark and we could start off 0-20. And we're going to say, hey, we're going to turn it around and we're going to win this division. Until it gets to the point where you're kind of mathematically eliminated, you'd be surprised that more than not, players on the field, you have to be living in fantasy land a little bit. You got to find a reason to believe, a reason to go to the ballpark and put on the uni and perform, because some years it's just the writing's on the wall. You're not that good and you're not going to make it. But as players, you kind of have to be blind to that until, like I said, you're getting to a point where you're going to be mathematically eliminated. And then you got to find another reason to get to the ballpark and put up numbers, you know, and that becomes a very individualized thing. But yeah, I was looking at that. There's some, you know, the Astros are picked.
That's so rough, man.
You know, by most analysts, they're in the basement. But teams like that, I think they're going to come around. Pirates off to a great start again. The Kansas City Royals off to a great start. So as much as there's some teams off to a bad start that we kind of predicted were going to get off to a bad start, there's some that are off to some surprisingly good starts. So It's going to be interesting. Good to see the Padres won 5 out of 6. They're hot. They're rolling. This is a good ball club. This is a good team. I watched Cease last night. He looks nasty. You know, he's giving up one earned run in his last two starts, kind of becoming the horse of that rotation. I think there's a lot of talent there. Musgrove, he's proven over the last 3 or 4 years when healthy, he's a real horse. Darvish is just a professional. You know, he's getting a little bit older, but he's just a pro. I have high hopes for King. I watched him a lot in New York. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's on the mound tonight. Yes. And Waldron's been doing a nice job. So, in that bullpen, how about all those lefties? You got from other than Suarez, Matsui, Peralta, and D'Lo Santos, they all got around a one earning. So they're in a good place right now, doing a good job. One game out of first place of those mighty, mighty Dodgers. It's been fun to watch recently.
They have. It's been a delight to turn the game on, and you feel like you're never out of it, Booney. So we appreciate you, buddy, and hope to get to talk to you soon. Love that insight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you at the staff meeting. Bring donuts. Talk to you later, Brett. Brett Boone, our Odyssey MLB Insight.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
A reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. But that's a... Next is doing a lot of work because we still have Brett Boone coming up. Sammy just popped his head in and said, we nearly had an incident. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes. When Nick, the board op for his Padres pregame show, walked in, saw our Bean Boozled jar.
Yep.
And didn't realize what it was going for. It was going for a handful. Ooh, jelly beans. Free jelly beans.
Got a handful.
Yeah, it was ready to go.
And Sammy stopped him
at the last second.
Sammy's a nice guy.
Because you would not have stopped anyone. I would have wanted to see what would happen.
I lived it Monday, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. My worst enemy, I wouldn't want them to eat a handful of those. I feel like I still taste bandage in my mouth. So,
you would have stopped him.
I think I would have
like
stopped
Sammy
him.
Did.
I would have been like, bro, no.
Don't do it. This is going to be the mistake of a lifetime.
It's so bad.
All right, Padres are expecting large crowds this weekend when they welcome the Blue Jays to town, but very limited tickets remain for all 3 games. You can visit Padres.com/tickets today. Got Brett Boone on the line. He will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. And we are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Does that mean he'll be at the all-staff meeting that we just found out about June?
You better be there.
We got a big Odyssey meeting. We will see you there. Insider calls are presented by Grainger.
Yeah, that's good.
Supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Brett, also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports each week. Jimbo Bowden, the former GM on The Athletic, one of his latest guests on the Brett Boone podcast. Good morning, colleague, co-worker Brett Boone.
Yes, I will be looking forward to the staff meeting. I will have a lot to bring to the table.
Yeah.
A lot of input, a lot of knowledge I've been holding back for a long time. So looking forward to that. Morning, boys.
Morning. I know they have like hitters meetings and, you know, like before the series meetings. Did you ever have to do like workplace meetings as a baseball player?
Oh, yeah, right.
Like the normal stuff that we all have to, like going through like the benefits programs,
training
and things
modules.
You have to sign. Yeah. Did they have that for baseball players back in the day?
No.
That's the thing. Once you become a big league ball player, the rules do not apply to you any longer.
Almost anywhere.
And I'll tell you what, the day you either retire or you get fired from big league baseball, all the rules apply to you. So it's quite the shock when you're
rude awakening.
But no. Yes, as a big leaguer, believe me, nothing.
It's incredible. Did you? There's a story that came out recently about Juan Soto. And I defended Juan a little bit because Juan Soto's a good hitter and knows kind of what he wants to do when he goes up to the plate. And, you know, but apparently he wasn't really engaged in some of these hitters meetings. They were telling some of the Padres hitters about tells, right? So if he does this, he may throw the slider here 80% of the time.
Right.
Soto was more kind of like, I've got my own plan and it's obviously working for me. I don't need this information per se. Maybe he didn't go about it the right way, Brett, but I wanted to ask you the info that they gave you. How were hitters meetings like for you? Were you into them? Were you not into them? Did you just want to go out, see ball, hit ball?
Well, it varied throughout my career. When I was a young player, I'd go in there and I want to listen. I want to learn. I want to hear from the guys that have been around the league for years and years and have a lot more. You know, when you first get to the big leagues, you don't have a portfolio built up of time against these guys. By the time I'm, you know, late in my career and Roger Clemens is pitching tonight, you know, I might have some input in the hitters meeting because I faced him 30 times. You know, as a young player, I want to sponge off those older guys. Like, hey, what's he done to you in the past? Is he doing anything different? So I was there just to kind of be quiet and listen. And yeah, it's like anything. As you get more experience and you have something to add to the conversation, maybe you can help a young guy. When it comes to Juan Soto, when it comes to big league treatment in general, especially a Juan Soto, an established, you know, one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
As a teammate, you do whatever the hell you want to do. I could care less. Just when the bell rings, as long as you show up, do whatever you want. Don't go to the meeting. I don't care. And there's none of that, oh, everybody's got to be treated the same. Not in the big leagues. It's all about winning games. Pick your friends later. You got to battle with 26 guys or 25, 3 hours a night. And I remember what sticks out to me is I went to the middle of my career, I went to the Atlanta Braves. And it was obviously an organization at the time. Everybody knows the 90s Braves. It was you win every single year. And I went into that and Chipper Jones that year, who ended up winning the MVP, he didn't come out. He didn't stretch with us. He didn't come onto the field. He didn't take ground balls. He had his program where when I got to the park every day, he was already there. So Chipper's there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon playing cards. He had a routine that he went through. He'd shower. He'd get into the cage about 45 minutes before the game. Him and Don Baylor at the time was the hitting coach. They go through all this program they had. He'd get loose, he'd stretch, he'd run his sprints under the tunnel. He'd warm up by throwing balls into the cage. He'd step on the top step some days at 7 o'clock for a 7:05 game. And I had no problem with it because Chipper was carrying the mail. And he put us on his back that year.
That's so badass.
And for any of my teammates that had a problem with it, like, oh, Chipper has to be out there and stretch. I said, why does he have to be out there and stretch? What do we care? He shows up and hits a three-run homer. That's all I care about. Now, there's a catch-22 to that. If you're hitting .210, and you're on pace to hit 6 homers for the year, well, guess what you better do? You better get your butt out there and stretch with everybody else. But as long as you're doing your job, this is the big league. It's not about this and about that. It's about bottom line. It's about results. If Juan Soto doesn't want to take certain things from a meeting and he's out on the field producing, more from my perspective as a teammate in that locker room, as long as he's not completely disrupting the entire program, which I'm hearing none of that, I've got no problem with it. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Talking to Brett Boone, insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Click, call Grainger.com or just stop by. I want to ask you about hitting coaches. Padres new hitting coach Victor Rodriguez has received high marks so far because, well, the Padres are hitting well and scoring a lot of runs. But I kind of refuse to believe that the last, 11 hitting coaches were all idiots who didn't know what they were talking about. And you see, like, professional golfers, they'll go through coaches maybe four or five in their careers and change all the time, a different coach for a different swing. And I've got to imagine baseball is kind of similar. Like, one coach doesn't fit all swing types on the major league level for a hitting coach. What was your experience with hitting coaches? How useful were they? How much of an impact can they really have on a team?
I had 20 hitting coaches. I can count on three fingers. That would be three. Somebody that could actually help me. Hitting coach is, I think, the toughest job in all sports. As you mentioned, Ben, when you're hitting well, man, you're getting high praises. Everybody loves you. And when the hitters aren't hitting, you stink and you should be banished from the earth. That's the way they're treated. And it's a tough job because particular roster, you've got 12 guys that you got to work with. You're not going to see eye to eye with all 12 guys. The best hitting coaches I've had were not the guys that taught the physical. You know, we all have different approaches. To be successful, we all have to be in the same position when that ball's in the hitting zone. We all get there a different way. But the best hitting coaches I've had were the guys that could say something to me that would rattle something loose in my head. And he could go to another hitter and say something completely different and get a real positive result out of that. A guy for me that was great, his name was Lee Elia. And he was Lou Piniella, one of Lou Piniella's guys. I knew Lee since I was a kid. He was a coach on those 70s Phillies teams that my dad played on. So I knew him as a little kid. He came to Seattle. And he would walk by me some days. And we had a really good rapport. And he'd look at me, and he knew I was in a funky place from a hitting perspective. He'd say, "Booney, how you doing?" And I'd look at him. I'd say, "Lee, how the hell you think I'm doing? You've been watching my at-bats the last 3 days." And he'd say something, this is what sticks out to me. He'd say, "Remember when we were in Texas a week ago and you did that thing with your top hand and you said that helped you?" And I'd look at him like, "Yeah, I remember that conversation." He goes, "Why don't you just try that?" And he would walk to the end of the dugout. All of a sudden, I went from, sitting there moping on the bench with no chance in my next at bat to, "I've got a chance." Yeah, that's right, that top hand that we were talking about. So that's just an example of what hitting coaches are. They're more mental coaches. They're more psychologists than they are the physical hit. Now, you need a guy that gets there. He's there. He's ready to work. That's all I can ask from a hitting coach. I'll give you a quick another story. I'll try to make it really quick. Paul Molitor, one of the greatest hitters in the game. Love him. Hall of Famer. Love him as a man. He was our hitting coach in 2004 in Seattle. He came in. Man, did he work hard. He was there when you needed him to be there. Did everything he could. And at the end of the year, I had an okay year. And the last week, we're doing our flips under the tunnel. And Paulie looks at me and goes, "Booney, I knew how to get a hit." I said, "I know, Paulie. I watched you for a lot of years." He goes, "Problem is, I can't help you get a hit." And we both started laughing. It is really hard. You have to have that one-on-one. You resonate with some guys and you don't resonate with others. But the bottom line is, once you get to the big leagues, you're a big leaguer. All your growing and teaching and learning should be done by the big league level. You should be a finished product. And at the end of the day, once you step in the box, it's all on you. So hitting coaches come and go, but the best ones are the ones that can somehow psychologically get in that mind and just put you into a good, positive frame of mind when you're about to get into that box.
That's, I mean, that's good advice for coaches at any level. Boone, talking to Brett Boone here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I wanted to ask you. I think the Padres, if you've watched the 20 games, they're coming out, they're swinging early in counts, they're getting balls to hit. Sometimes they're not damaging those balls. They're just finding some green right now, and that's as important sometimes as hitting lasers. And they're living right now, but it does seem to be a little bit of a change in philosophy of going up attacking early in counts. When last year, man, they would get themselves in some bad hitters counts and bad things happen. Did they drill that into you in your career, or what was your mentality? Like, I'm going up, I'm hunting first pitch fastball, and if I see one, I'm going to ambush it.
Woodsy, that's all an individual thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a guy like a Juan Soto who's going to see the most pitches of anyone in baseball.
Yep.
That's Juan Soto. And then on the other side of the ledger, a guy that I played against and we watched for years, Hall of Famer, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., he maybe walked 20 times a year. Pretty good results, though, from an offensive player.
No doubt.
And I remember when I worked with the Oakland A's in the minor leagues, and they were preaching, hey, you need to walk more. You need to get your walk totals. Well, that doesn't work. You're either a walker or you're not a walker. If you're a 40-walk guy a year, yeah, maybe you can improve on that with your plate discipline, control the strike zone a little bit better, and become a 60-walk guy. But you don't go from a 40 to 100. I never met a good hitter that went up there looking to walk. You look to hit, and as you get more experience and a little more mature in the game, you learn to maybe shrink that strike zone a little bit and stay within the zone a little bit more. But I've never seen a great hitter that changed what he was. If you're an 80-walk guy, yeah, you can improve on that and maybe one day be 100. But you're not going to turn Vladimir Guerrero into a 100-walk guy, and you're not going to turn Juan Soto into a 40-walk guy. Both the results from both of their approaches works pretty good, and that's all I've ever seen. That's my belief. You can't change a guy. And sometimes if you're a low-walk guy and you really pound on him, you got to walk more, that takes away their aggressiveness. And they become a shell of themselves. So I don't try to change anybody. Just get the most out of the individual, because it's so individualized.
Last thing for me, Brett. There's some teams off to some really slow starts that you don't really expect are going to get much better. The Rockies 4-14, the Marlins 4-14, not looking good. The White Sox just look abysmal. 2-14, they've been outscored by 53 runs. I know it's early, but what was the worst team you were ever on? And when did you realize, like,
this is who we are.
This is not going to turn around, is it? The 2000
well,
Padres weren't great. I remember that, but I hope that wasn't
Padres
the worst one.
Weren't great. My 2005 Mariners weren't very good. 97 Cincinnati Reds. As a player, we're eternal optimists. And the obvious could be staring us in the face, where if we were anywhere other than in that uniform, on that field, representing that organization, reasonable minds would prevail and say we stink. But as players, believe me, that's all we got to live for. We get to the ballpark and we could start off 0-20, and we're going to say, hey, we're going to turn it around and we're going to win this division. Until it gets to the point where you're kind of mathematically eliminated, you'd be surprised that more than not, players on the field, you have to be living in fantasy land a little bit. You got to find a reason to believe, a reason to go to the ballpark and put on the uni and perform, because some years it's just the writing's on the wall. You're not that good and you're not going to make it. But as players, you kind of have to be blind to that until, like I said, you're getting to a point where you're going to be mathematically eliminated. And then you got to find another reason to get to the ballpark and put up numbers, and that becomes a very individualized thing. But yeah, I was looking at that. There's some, the Astros are
picked. That's so rough, man.
By most analysts, they're in the basement. But teams like that, I think they're going to come around. Pirates off to a great start again. The Kansas City Royals off to a great start. So as much as there's some teams off to a bad start that we kind of predicted we're going to get off to a bad start, there's some that are off to some surprisingly good starts. So it's going to be interesting. Good to see the Padres won 5 out of 6. They're hot. They're rolling. This is a good ball club. This is a good team. I watched Cease last night. He looks nasty.
Nasty.
He's giving up one earned run in his last two starts, kind of becoming the horse of that rotation. I think there's a lot of talent there. Musgrove, he's proven over the last 3 or 4 years when healthy, he's a real horse. Darvish is just a professional. He's getting a little bit older, but he's just a pro. I have high hopes for King. I watched him a lot in New York. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's on the mound tonight. Yes. And Waldron's been doing a nice job. So, in that bullpen, how about all those lefties? You got, from other than Suarez, Matsui, Peralta, and D'Lo Santos, they all got around a one earning. So they're in a good place right now, doing a good job. One game out of first place with those mighty, mighty Dodgers. It's been fun to watch recently.
They have. It's been a delight to turn the game on, and you feel like you're never out of it, Booney. So we appreciate you, buddy, and hope to get to talk to you soon. Love that insight.
All right, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you at the staff meeting. Bring donuts. Talk to you later, Brett. Brett Boone, our Odyssey MLB insider. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. I'm not surprised that you never acknowledge the fact that you're terrible.
Yeah.
Even when it's staring you straight in the face. The White Sox are terrible.
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 It's a bad baseball
team. And I get it. It's not even the first month of the season. And there's some injuries as well. I guess you can always tell yourself, hey, we'll get healthy.
Yeah.
You know, things will look a little bit better in a few weeks when we get some of our players back. And then late in the season, when you're out and you're truly out of it, you still are playing for your own contract, your own baseball card stats, and you know, you want to get the best deal possible the next time you're a free agent. So no reason why you can't go out and try to do a really, really good job. And even if you had 25 guys who are all just playing individually for themselves, might not be the best quote-unquote team, but you'd still win games if all guys are playing well for themselves individually, because baseball's that kind of sport.
That's exactly right, man. That's exactly right. So I loved what he had to say about Soto. I thought that was really, and Chipper Jones, I had no idea. Do you guys?
No.
The Chipper was not, the...
I'm not surprised.
Prep team guy in the world? No.
It
surprises me.
He prepped, but he prepped his own way.
Yeah.
And you don't care as long as he's producing.
Cards.
I'm not going to say
it. Shower.
Cards,
and then 45
shower,
minutes
sprints,
before the game. And take some swings.
Some swings and throw against the
wall.
That's
how you prepare for an adult league game, I think.
Yeah, I don't even do that much. I don't even do that. I just do none of that, actually. It's interesting. And again, though, like the numbers always kind of speak the loudest in this game that we love. So really, really good stuff from Booney. He's on fire lately.
Yeah, I don't think I agree. Agree with him when he says there's no baseball player that's going to be so mad at a teammate who is constantly producing and helping you win.
Correct.
Even if
they're,
not your cup of tea, even if they're a little bit of a in the clubhouse, they're not the best clubhouse presence. If they're on the field
carrying
helping you win,
like you said, carrying
you're going to be really happy about it.
No doubt.
It's rare. Who was the quote that I saw? The opposite. It was one of San Francisco Giants.
No, it was Andy Van Slyke.
Andy Van Slyke.
Talking about Barry Bonds.
With the Pirates,
I'd rather lose.
Than
win with him.
That's a very rare sentiment in baseball.
That's about as rare as it gets. But, yeah, I mean, you have to be a real jerk for somebody to say, I'd rather lose games than to win games you here. I mean, you're like the worst of the worst.
It's the definition of a clubhouse
cancer.
That's
the definition of one. So I saw that yesterday, too. Somebody had tweeted that talking about Bonds.
Barry Bonds was pretty,
pretty tough.
Hall of Fame, certain likable guys in baseball history.
Well, and certainly in
and talent
ability.
As well.
Yeah.
Talent and ability. I'm not denying that.
I've still never seen anyone like him.
But
never.
As unlikable as a person, not just media members, but his own teammates, coaches, opponents, pretty much everyone.
Yeah, 100%.
Disliked him.
No doubt.
During his career.
No doubt. And not a surprise that Paul Molitor and Barry Bonds was a hitting coach for a while. It's not a surprise that these guys can't break through. It's not, because they're so good at what they
do. Tony Gwynn could never really break through with his players as hitting, at least the instruction. You hear all the stories of his players will go, Tony, do it like this. It doesn't work. We don't have
not Tony Gwynn.
That innate ability that you do.
I'm not Barry Bonds.
And what works for you doesn't work for everybody else. But that's true in not just hitting in baseball. That is very true in golf as well.
Sure.
That a golf coach who can have incredible success with two or three players takes another guy and goes, I can't do anything for you.
Yep.
Your swing, it doesn't work the way I teach. You're not a good fit for me as a teacher.
Well, and the other thing, too, Victor Rodriguez is going to get a lot of praise right now because the Padres are hitting well. When they slump, who are people going to look to?
Of course.
Victor Rodriguez. It's a thankless job. It's just a horrible,
but,
horrible,
you know, some of those failed Padres hitting coaches of the past went on and had success with other groups of players and lineups. And
Ryan Flaherty's actually doing okay in Chicago now.
And it's not necessarily that they got better players so they look smarter. Sometimes it's simply the right message for the right guys. And you don't always find that with every single team. All right, we've got the Eco Water SoCal pregame show standing by. First, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification from our Odyssey studios here in San Diego.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
Tony Gwynn Jr. here. Get up to speed on sports news on your way home from work. Keep up with Gwynn and Chris weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on 97.3 The Fan.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Business taken care of right there.
Yeah, we have more business.
Speaking of business, I've got to drive you again, and I have to take now my car.
It's very cool.
It's car week for Ben and Woods, which means we got to get going as soon as Sammy takes over. But we forgot to record our promo.
We did.
So let's just record our promo.
What's tomorrow, Thursday?
Tomorrow's Thursday.
Maybe you know Sarah's at 8:35.
You probably hear them during the day if you listen to Annie and Elston and Gwynn and Chris. It's a, like, what, 8 seconds, Polly, we're trying to hit? Like, 8 seconds. And we're just telling you what's coming up on the program.
Right.
And usually I do a little bit, then you do a little bit.
Yeah, I know how it works.
And then we go.
Ben's explaining a promo to me.
I'm explaining it to the audience, not you.
They hear it.
I'm just explaining how it works.
Right, you're running out of time, though.
All right, here we go.
Do the show, bitch.
What do we got? 8:35, Eno?
7:35, Adam Jones.
All right. Oh, yeah. All right. 3, 2, 1. Coming up Thursday, a day late, but always... No, let's try it again. Three, two, one.
Every spot.
Coming up Thursday, a day late, but always appreciated. Adam Jones will join us at
7:30. Oh, my God.
Coming up Thursday, a day late, but always appreciated. Adam Jones will join us at 7:35.
And Smart Baseball with Eno Saris at 8:35.
Make that work, Polly?
Yeah.
That's okay? You can make that fit into our
every time
template that we put in?
Hey, it's been... Hey, it's a...
3, 2, 1.
Hey,
I love the sigh. It's my... I wish it was my ringtone. My phone rings.
It's not live. You don't have to do it in one take. You can get it right.
That's
right.
You
can wait until it's perfect. That's the aim. Perfection is the goal.
What time's this game start? 10:05?
10:10.
10:10.
10:10.
Better get me home.
Bryce Wilson. Against Michael King is our pitching matchup. Sammy will have all the details for you. Lineups, the highlights of yesterday's game, the Mike Shildt comments, everything for you coming up momentarily on the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show. I think what do we need to fill another minute here, Polly?
Another minute?
One more minute of content.
Pee in my pants.
Don't do that.
I'm this close.
Ben and Woods on the Fan.
Coming up Thursday, a day late, but always appreciated. Adam Jones will join us at 7:35.
And Smart Baseball with Eno Saris at 8:35.
Listen to Ben and Woods weekdays from 6 to 10 on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, the reason Adam Jones couldn't join us today is his flight back to the back to Europe was delayed 6 hours. So he was still on the plane during our show today.
He said he got a buttload of credits, though.
The airline that he was with, I guess you can say. United.
Said,
they did hook me up with some kind of bonus miles points, whatever you get when you're inconvenienced by the airlines.
Hello.
That was hot.
Right. We've made it to the end of a shortened show.
Barely.
And we will be back tomorrow for the Thursday edition of Ben and Woods, even though it'll feel like a Friday.
Oh, dude, and we'll make that hour back with our roundtable tomorrow.
That's a good point. Yep, we will be back for the roundtable from 10 to 11. Sammy is up next for Paul Reindel, Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Wednesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Go Padres!
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.